Very good. You know, we have this whole section in our hymnal on the gospel. These songs are amazing. I feel like if we really get into them and we sing these songs, our appreciation of Christ just goes up, right? Don't you just feel right now you just appreciate that He is so full? Amen. He is so rich? Actually, they help us to experience Christ in this way. And as we do, we just become the gospel. What is it that this brother has? Israel, what is it that you have? I want some of that. Well, what can you say? He is so rich. He is so full, right? Well, this afternoon, we're going to take a little time, a few of us here, to fellowship related to the gospel. Anyway, this is a wonderful, wonderful topic. And maybe to get into it, let's just start by reading some verses together. So sisters, how about you get this verse for us? John 15:16. Okay, John 15:16. Those are the sisters. Brothers, how about you get Matthew 28:18-20. Maybe I should put it higher. So sisters is John 15:16. Brothers, Matthew 28:18-20. And then serving saints. So serving saints, you all get Mark 16:15. And let's start by having the sisters stand and read that verse. Amen. So you could underline, circle if you wanted to in your Bible, those words, go forth, bear fruit, right? Go forth, bear fruit. Brothers, how about you stand and read Matthew 28:18-20.
And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father,
Okay, great verses, right? All authority, heaven and earth, given to me, right? So then again, the charge here is to go, right? Go therefore. So go forth, go therefore. And then the last one here is Mark 16:15. This is everyone else who's not students, the serving ones. Let's stand and read that one. Mark 16:15. So once again, the same word, go, right, into all the world, proclaim the gospel to all the creation. Wow, that's amazing, all the creation. So anyway, these are just a few verses here that show us that this matter of the gospel is something that the Christian life does. The Christian life preaches the gospel. The Christian life bears fruit that remains. And so we're in a training here, and we're touching different stations, and this is one that we have to touch, right? This is, you know, I really like the example of the trees that we have in the parking lot, you know? These trees that have been planted there, we really want those trees to grow straight up, right? And to bear a lot of fruit and to be beautiful, right? To have a certain kind of expression. And we as trees are very much the same way. The Lord cares very much that we would grow, right? This is the deep burden on His heart, is that we would all grow. But also that we would grow in a balanced and proper way. So this is why the training is here. And so, you know, you could write these four words down. We have a wonderful book with this title that speaks about the four great pillars in the Lord's recovery. One of them, the first one mentioned, is truth. Truth. It's a great pillar in the Lord's recovery. Without truth, actually, anyway, the church is the pillar and base of the truth, right? Truth. Okay, the next one is life, right? Life. The next one is the church. And then the fourth one is the gospel. And I just recommend that book to you. You get into it, and you will really be helped in a very balanced way. Anyway, I would also just put this here. Next to the word church, you could put this word service. This word service. Our life together in the church is a life of priests, right? And when you contact priests in the tabernacle, what they are doing, if it is proper, you could say all of that is service. Their living, their work, everything that they're doing, it's a service and a worship to God. So anyway, you could put that word service there. And so just to make my point, some of us really need balancing in the truth, right? I love people, I love to pray, you know, but I don't like to memorize a verse, right? Maybe some of us are like, well, I just like to pray all day long. I like to pray. I can pray. But other people, they just like to study the truth, but they don't like to pray. Some people like people, but some people would just rather stay at home, right? Anyway, you put all of this together. If we let the Lord pull us in all of these four directions, we will grow properly as Christians. And anyway, so this one that we're touching right now is related to the gospel. And so, you know, we have this line that we're covering in the morning, the practicing of the twos or the threes. And we're seeing in that line, this is all together God has ordained way. And we may see a little bit this week that actually the way that bears fruit in the long run that is the most profitable is really to contact people who are our warm doors. This is like our family, our relative, our friends, our co-workers. And not to contact them in an individualistic way, like a fisherman with a pole, but rather as a net, someone who is joined with others in the way of twos and threes. So we're going to see that, and we absolutely say amen to that. This is our experience. The Lord is showing us. This is a prevailing way to preach the gospel. But sometimes we hear this word, and we say, so then never again do I contact a stranger. Never again do I have to do that, right? And this is, we can be this way, especially when we're young. We just go all the way to this extreme or all the way to that extreme. That's why we need that, like that tree, right? We need to be pulled in each proper direction so that we grow properly. And so, anyway, this matter of the gospel and contacting people is a tremendous matter. Actually, like the brothers were saying, it really opens the way for our growth and our experience of Christ. Not just in contacting the warm doors, but brothers and sisters, even contacting people we've never seen before or we may never see again. So we're going to actually give ourselves an opportunity this week to practice some of that, because your friends, your family, they're not here right now. Of course, we can still fellowship about them and pray for them, and in our twos and threes, we'll do that. But anyway, we're going to have a little opportunity. It's unique. Not all of the college trainings have this. Some of them are isolated in a place with no cell service or people. But we're on a college campus. Praise the Lord. And although it's summer, there's still some people here. Although not today so much, but tomorrow there will be. And also on Wednesday. So on these 2 days, we are actually going to, in a coordinated way, go out. I believe it will be the sisters that go out on Monday, and then the brothers that go out on Wednesday. Yeah, because Tuesday we'll have the outing to Sandy Creek Park together. So we'll each have a chance to go out and actually contact someone. And anyway, I don't know how you feel about this. Sometimes this is how I felt. When I went to the full-time training, I had never done this. I was terrified. I'm a grown man. I was close to 30 at the time. And I was going to be contacting people 12 years younger than me. And I was still terrified of the thought of approaching somebody. I didn't know what I would say. I didn't know what was going to happen. I had all these concepts in my mind about what would happen. And one of the concepts that I had was this, is that the gospel equals contacting people you've never seen before, arguing with them, debating, intellectually subduing them, and converting them to your way of seeing things. That's the idea I had. Can you see why I was afraid of going out? It's like, what am I going to say? I hadn't even read the Bible once at that point in time. What am I going to say? You know? So I struggled. I had a real hard time. But anyway, thank the Lord for the training. To be in the training, I was one of those ones more than any others. I just wanted to go upstairs and read my Bible. And I wanted to read this ministry that's so good, but I didn't want to contact people. But I got a little bit of help. I got pulled in this direction. And day by day, I began to go out. And the Lord began to get through in me in so many ways. One was that particular concept. So I'll just say something about that concept that I had. You know, in Romans 10, there's this wonderful verse that tells us where faith comes from. Who knows this verse reference? What does it say? 14? Is it 14? That is it. That's the verse. But is it 14? I think it's 17. Anyway, praise the Lord. We need to be pulled in this way too. That's the truth. Me too. I think it's 17. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Is it 17? I really want to know. Somebody look that up. It's 17. Yeah, okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, so faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And, you know, by doing this, the Lord began to show me something, that a human being also, if you go to Romans 9, the chapter right before that, it says that man is a vessel and God is a potter. And he makes out of that lump of clay vessels. And that's what men are. They're just like this vessel, although they're different. This vessel is full. But actually, and we find this out when we go to contact people, mankind is absolutely destitute, empty, bankrupt. Whether he knows it or not, he's totally empty. He's a vessel made in the image of God. And he needs to receive content, right? And this helped me so much to realize that in the gospel, I don't have to go out and somehow wrestle a vessel into believing what I believe. But faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So I just began to see that I just need to have the word of Christ more and more every day. I need exercise to have the word, right? Have Christ in my experience and in my being. And when I go to contact people, he's just like this vessel. I don't know if maybe he starts out empty. When I see a person, I just add something to him. I can just speak something to them. Excuse me, do you have a minute? I'd like to share something with you. No? Okay. So that nothing happened with that one. But maybe the next person says, sure. Well, could you, I'd like to give you something. Could we read this together? Do you have a minute? I'd like to read something with you. And he may say, okay, this actually has happened to me. Could you believe this? You could ask somebody, hey, do you have a minute? I'd like to read something with you. Like, do you think that, I was like, no way, right? This guy, he said, sure. And I was like taken aback. And I was like, okay, now what do I do? You know? So I was like, okay, well, here, you just start and I'll go next. And then we just read and read the whole thing. And at the end, guess what? He got saved. Anyway, that was also another thing that really helped me is like, God is real. Like, stuff like that will happen. Like, earlier in the day, he has the feeling, I'm going to meet someone today. And then that happened. I met him. And then he read that. And then he got saved. Anyway, our God is real and he's living. So that happened. And just blew my mind, blew my concept. But anyway, what happened with him, actually, I believe, is that somebody talked to him before me. Right? Maybe five people talked to him before me. Actually, write this down. There's some really good verses. I'll read them to you there in John 4, verse 37 through 38. It says, for in this the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. One sows and another reaps. That day somebody had sowed and I reaped. Praise the Lord. Okay, I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others labored and you entered into their labor. And this just changed my concept about gospel preaching. I don't have to wrestle a person into believing. I just need to sow. I just need to sow. And someday what's going to happen is the person you're talking to, he is going to cross this threshold. Faith comes through hearing. He's going to have heard just enough. And what you say to him that day, it's going to tip the scale. That person is going to somehow have an appreciation of Christ that he didn't have before. It just accumulated within his being because others have labored, right? And you entered into their labor, and that day you reaped, right? Eventually, so whether he sows or he reaps, he's nothing. It's God who does it, right? But anyway, this just strengthened me. You know what? I just need to do my part. I just need to sow. Why are we talking about this? Because, well, this one is especially relevant because what we're going to do over these next couple days is mainly this, is give you a map, point you to an area on campus, and we're going to give you some tracks. And you have some tracks in your hands already. And you may be thinking, what's the point of this, right? Is this really going to do anything? Is this just filling time? Well, it depends on your view, right? You may reap or you may sow, but I will tell you, brothers and sisters, this is always worthwhile. This pleases the Lord to the uttermost if we would just dispense. Just go and just dispense. Like a farmer, he just spreads the seeds and lets God send the rain and let God cause the growth. Eventually, there's a reward for this, right? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, he says there's a reward. There's a reward for this. So I'd just like to encourage you all. Anyway, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to bear this kind of heavy burden that you have to do or be something that you're not, really, all you have to do is just sow and just share. Some people will receive it. Some people won't receive it. But I guarantee you this, as you do it, you just get saved. You just get filled with the joy of the Lord. Try and see. Anyway, I had some points that I would read about tracts. There's something here from the collected works of Watchman Nee, Volume 2, from the Cooling Training. He says there's 7 reasons why gospel tracts are effective. Number 1, they're not limited by man's speaking. So tomorrow when you're going to talk to somebody, he asks you a question. You may right now be nervous. What am I going to say? I may say it wrong. But guess what? The tract is not going to say it wrong. It's not limited by our speaking. It's not limited by our age and status. You may meet somebody who's older than you, and you just don't feel like you can say anything. But the tract has no problem. It will say it. Not being intimidated by human factors or the atmosphere. It avoids debate. Who's going to argue with a piece of paper, right? It avoids debate. But the words are there, and that might trouble a person, right? What he read, he just can't get over it. There's many stories that happened, and people eventually got subdued by the Spirit, and they got saved. Anyway, let them argue with the piece of paper. It's very, very good for them. Okay, not being limited by time and persons, right? You may give it to this person. He may lose it. He may drop it. Maybe another person finds it. We have stories among us that save people. It can be sowed anywhere, and it enables all the believers to function, right? Even if I was deaf, or if I couldn't speak, right? Even I could hand a tract out. And I'm always touched by this. Bobby, I'm going to tell the story, but his kids love to do this, especially Anthony, right? Maybe he'll say something about it. He just loves to go to people and just do this. You know, what do? You've got a little 3-4-year-old right here just like this. Some people are like, oh, and they take it, and then they read it. It's not limited by time or persons. Right? And they read it. Who knows? Anyway, one day Anthony may get a wonderful reward because he just did that. Right? All of us can do that. Anyway, I just share that as an encouragement to you all. Our feeling is not that anybody would have a panic attack or be overwhelmed. What I'm learning about the gospel is it's like a way in our life. And like a highway, like any other kind of way, you just need an on-ramp into that way. You know? And so a lot of us, we just see like Billy Graham or something, and we feel like, I got to be like that. But really, there's an on-ramp into this kind of a life, and I just like to lay it before you in a way that's so attractive. I've seen some, they were afraid of talking to people, so they came to a Bibles for America table. And they just sat there at the table, and they let people that wanted what they have come to them. And it was amazing because it's like, you know, you're not going to argue there. They're going to be interested and thankful, and they're going to come open to you, and you have a chance to like read them a footnote. This happened to me, and I read somebody a footnote, and I was like, this is amazing. Look what I have. My appreciation went through the roof. And then I began to like want to tell people about the recovery version, to give it to strangers. So anyway, what I'm trying to paint for you here is a picture that we can just begin according to where we're at. You know, to do the work of an evangelist a little bit. And with our companions, we can encourage each other to leave a tract, to talk. Actually, as you give somebody a tract, if you just go out on the campus and just give all your tracts away and say nothing to nobody, and you do that every week, just do that, eventually you're going to be like, okay, maybe I'll just say hi next time. Hi. You know, and somebody may say hi, and you may say, oh, okay. And you just go on about your way. But it's like now you just leveled up in the gospel. You're not just this, but also high, right? And anyway, it's like anything. It's like, how did you learn to ride a bicycle, right? You just got on it, you know? And so this is a bicycle, so to speak, that you can get on. Anyway, that may advance until eventually you really get a taste for it. You learn something. You have some experience. And there begins to be, the Lord may develop a gift within you. But anyway, whether we're highly gifted or lowly gifted, it doesn't matter. We can just sow and we can just reap. So I think I'm going to stop here and I'm going to let Ryan give us some real practical help. I don't know. How many people in here have never given a tract to anyone? It's okay. We're not going to make you do anything if you raise your hand. How many have never done that before? 1. Okay. 2, 3, 4. Okay. It's okay. I was like 30. I hadn't done it. Okay. So How many people are scared of giving people tracts? Yeah, more of us. How many people love giving people tracts? Okay, so there's some. Okay, can you see this? We're just all over the place here. Okay, nobody's special. We're all the same. Okay.
I got one.
So Ryan will give some help.
I'm gonna need.
Practically, what can you do?
Amen. Okay, so everybody should have the third part tract in their hand. So we're going to have a little bit of a demonstration, and actually, just to reinforce what I shared, just wanted to read a couple of verses to you. Galatians 3:1 says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was openly portrayed crucified?" And verse 2 says something very significant, very important to remember. It says, "This only I wish to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit out of the works of law or out of the hearing of faith?" Right. So this verse shows very clearly the way that we receive the Spirit is by the hearing of faith. So actually, it's just by hearing. Even when you go out and you speak to people, salvation is very spontaneous. They might not even know that it's coming, and then they got saved just by hearing the word. Just, it causes a repentance within, and then that person gets saved. So it really is important to remember that belief belief is what causes repentance into salvation. So we're going to have a little bit of a demonstration here, and I've been debating whether I should. Whether I should get some volunteers for this, or maybe if I should get some sacrificial lambs here. So two people who I really admire a lot and I'm really burdened for. How about Joshua and Jose? How about you guys come up and help me out with this demonstration? So we're gonna have. Okay. Amen, brothers. I'll stand right here. How about we're gonna promote Jose here to a brother with a lapel mic, all right? So you're going to be a speaking brother now. All right? Okay? Just put that in your pocket. Good. Okay, and Joshua, you're going to be the recipient, all right? So Jose and I, we are practicing the twos and threes, okay? We are vital companions, and we've already gone through messages 1 through 3, which are on pursuing Christ, practicing the twos and threes, and prayer. Okay, so we've already prayed thoroughly. We're in the Spirit, Jose and I. All right, and what we're gonna do is we're just gonna go up and we're gonna read this tract to him. Okay, so there's actually many ways that you can preach the gospel. You can go up and give it to them, and then they can read it. You can just say hi and give it to them and leave, okay? But I'm going to give you a demonstration of what I did my first day of my first term of the FTTA, okay? This is exactly what I did. We went up to somebody, and me and my gospel partner, and we just did this, okay? So, Jose, what you and I are going to do is we're just going to read this tract to him. So I'll take the first paragraph, and then you take the second. And if we stop at a little point, maybe for a little illustration here and there, but for the most part, we're just going to read it to him, okay?
All right.
Okay, so we're walking around the campus. We find this guy. He's sitting alone. Hi. Hi, I'm Ryan.
Nice to meet you.
What's your name?
Josh.
Joshua. Nice to meet you, Josh.
Jose. Nice to meet you.
Josh, we're just going to read you something that we're going around. It's a gospel tract from Bibles for America. It's called The Third Part, okay? So I'm just going to read this to you. It says, "Have you ever felt unsatisfied, let down, even inexplicably empty after you got what you thought would make you happy?" That's right. Everybody has this, right? Everybody. Maybe there was a movie that was coming out, and you wanted to see this movie, and then you went to see it, and it was a total disappointment, right? The world is full of these things. The world is full of all kinds of things that set our hopes high, and then we go see it, and it's just really disappointing, okay? So you are not alone. This perplexing feeling has been known to strike the most accomplished and wealthy people, as well as the less accomplished and less wealthy. In fact, King Solomon had it all. A kingdom, untold wealth, and profound wisdom and knowledge. Yet after pondering his life, he said that there was nothing new under the sun. Everything was vanity. Jose?
It's as if something compels us to find the elusive missing piece that that would bring lasting satisfaction.
You're doing great, bro.
We may pursue a successful career, meaningful relationships, material possessions, or fun and entertainment, but nothing cures the mysterious empty feeling way down inside. Why do we feel this way?
Right. So see, when I was, this happened to me a lot. There was a time in my life where I was very disappointed by everything that was in my life. And you know what I thought? I thought, you know, if I just had money, maybe money would make me happy. But I knew when I looked at society, I looked at, you know, there's a statistic about CEOs who commit suicide. And it's really depressing when you see that even the most accomplished people actually are very depressed. So I know that money will not satisfy. And so I knew that there was something more deep within. And so then I learned the Bible shows us that God created us in a certain way. We can easily realize we have a body, the part of our being that enables us to contact the physical world. But we're not just a physical being made up of so many atoms. We also have a soul, an inward part that enables us to experience things in the psychological realm. This, however, isn't all there is to us.
1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "May your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete." It is clear that besides our body and soul, God made every human being with a third part, our spirit, the deepest and most hidden part. This God designed third part. Yeah. Has a specific capability. Our spirit can contact, receive, and experience God because he is the intended content.
Mm-hmm.
Our spirit can't be satisfied with anything other than God himself.
Amen. I'm going to skip this paragraph for time's sake. So God took some monumental steps so that he could enter our spirit. He became a man named Jesus Christ. Jesus lived a perfect human life on earth, died to take away our sins, was buried, and then rose from the dead. When he resurrected, he became a life-giving spirit and now can enter our human spirit. So how about Josh? How about together we just pray this prayer? If you pray this prayer, the Lord will come into your spirit. Let's pray this prayer together. You have it right there. So let's just read it together. But when we read it in a prayerful way, okay? Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I confess that I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I open to you. Come into my spirit and fill me with yourself. Lord Jesus, I receive you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So this is when we pray this way, we receive the Lord. And when we receive the Lord, we get regenerated. And now you are a Christian. And you should attend Christian meetings now. And actually you should go. But thank you for reading this. Thank you for reading this with us. Would you like to have further contact? Maybe I can get your phone number. Okay. So okay, thank you, brothers. So I skipped that paragraph. Yeah, you don't get that. So I skipped that paragraph. It's an important paragraph just for the sake of time, though. So don't skip that paragraph when you read it. But so this is what happened when I was in the training first term. I read this to somebody, and he prayed this prayer. And he was sitting down, and my gospel partner and I were standing up. And after he prayed it, he looked up at us, and the smile on his face will for eternity be etched in my memory. I just was like, he received the Lord, and he got regenerated in that moment, and he became a brother, and I was so touched. I really was in that moment realized that this is, you know, what we're made to do. I mean, we are not only commissioned, as we'll see later, to preach the gospel. We are, you know, the Lord makes us. Okay, so let's just settle it. The Lord requires of us to go preach the gospel, but it's not just a requirement, it's also a privilege. And this is my experience when we go out. I'm not very good at preaching the gospel. I feel like, I was telling the brothers, I was like, I don't know if I should go up there and talk to them because, you know, I don't have that much success preaching the gospel, and I'm actually still a little scared. It's really strange. My whole life, I've always been very outgoing. You know, I like to speak in front of a lot of people. I don't mind that. I'm you know, when I meet people, I have no problem meeting new people. But there's something about the gospel that just makes me a little chicken. I don't know what it is, but you know, I have to overcome that, and we all have to overcome that, because we are commissioned. But once you do, and once you have the experience, you know, I promise you that it will be rewarding. You know, the Lord will encourage you. And so, you know, with that demonstration, you know, we just need to go preach the gospel. And there's, again, many ways. So tracts are very helpful. Again, the content is here. As Robert shared, you know, people can't argue with a tract, or they can't. I mean, maybe they can, but it doesn't have to involve you. But there's also, you know, a number of ways. You know, actually, in the training, sometimes, you know, what some trainers do in the training, I've heard this, this wasn't on my team, but some teams, they just practice going out and talking to people. Like, they don't even talk to them about the Lord. They don't even mention anything about the Lord. They just go around talking to people, because this is really a great way to get stirred up. You know, this is really a great way to just, we need to learn how to interact with people on a human level, because when we go, you know, we are God men, right? We're not just, you know, in fact, when we are, you know, when we say we're becoming God in life and in nature, but not in the Godhead, actually you realize that receiving the life of Christ is actually making you more human, not just making you God, but actually it's making you more human, you know, because when you met the Lord, right, he wasn't one who, you know, like picks up the Bible and like throws it at you, right? You know, that was the Pharisees, right? The Pharisees condemned people. The Pharisees were throwing the scriptures and the law at people all the time. But the Lord just came and he reclined with them. You know, he just ate with them. And so this is really our, you know, this is really our commission, our burden, and again, our privilege to go around and talk to people. So we could spend hours giving all kinds of demonstrations. I guess just a couple practical points. This is the Mystery of Human Life track. Hopefully everybody here is at least somewhat familiar with this tract. It's a very great, it's very good because it's a very brief and enriching synopsis of what the Bible says is the purpose for our human life. And so I carry these everywhere I go in my bag, and on the back is my phone, is my name, my phone number, and my email. And so I would encourage you guys to make something with your, it's a little difficult to fit your information on here. I've seen people do it. You know, they write their name and their phone number. But you know, a tract like this, they have a space on the back for your personal information. So I would encourage you guys to do that. Also, as Robert said, you know, when we go out and we preach the gospel, our goal is not to debate. Our goal is not even really to convince. Actually, our goal is to just speak the faith, right? To just speak it. And as he said, you know, maybe they don't receive it, but maybe it goes a little bit. I can tell you that for me, when I was in high school, people talked to me about the Lord, and I didn't receive it, 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 and I didn't receive it. And then one day, I received it, you know. So, like, and actually a lot of the speaking that they had, those seeds that they had sown, fell on some good earth. You know, I believe that. You know, some things came up later that they had spoken to me that really had touched me, even from a very young age. So actually, and that's the parable of the sower. If you notice the parable of the sower, you know, there's four kinds of places. There's the good earth, there's the rocky places, there's the thorns, and then there's the wayside. Not in that order, I don't think. But the point is that the sower was indiscriminate. He didn't look for the good earth and say, oh no, that's the wayside. I'm not going to sow seed there, right? But he just sowed everywhere. I mean, he just sowed the seed. And so that's what we do. We're just out here sowing the seed. You know, here's a tract. I'm going to leave you high. And then, you know, you're sowing the seed, you know. Maybe it's the wayside. You don't know. But maybe it's the good earth also. So these are things. So some more practical points. You know, when you speak to somebody, Robert, when you speak to somebody, it's very important, you know, to have a good handshake. Right, you know. Yeah. So this is you want a good handshake, and you want to smile, right? Your smile is like, you know, when we go out preaching the gospel, we're not wearing a uniform except the smile. The smile is part of our uniform, right? Because you have to understand, you know, and this is something they shared with us in the reunion fellowship a couple months ago, is that you only have a few moments to make a first impression, you know, less than a second. It's something, you know, people are sizing you up very quickly. And so you want to make the most of your first impression. So, and what you do, the kind of gospel you preach, or the content is important. I don't want to diminish the content, but the content can be muddied if we are not, you know, proper, and if we're not exercised in our spirit about even the small things. So, like, it's like if you go to a nice restaurant and you order the nicest steak on the menu, right? And then the waitress comes and she just like throws it at you, right? You know, you will be too offended to eat this, you know, $50 steak, right? You know, you won't. The content matters. I mean, you want the steak, right? You want what that juicy, you know, rich food, but you also want it ministered to you in a proper way, and in a way that is that makes the food more edible. And so this is what we are. We are dispensers. We are, that's actually what the word minister means. I don't know if you know that, right? Minister means dispenser, somebody who comes and gives you something. So we are ministering Christ to people. We have this rich gospel, this Christ, but we just want to bring it to people in a way that they'll eat it. And so every way that we can do, every practice that we can undertake that would encourage people to eat the Christ that we're giving them is exactly what we want. And so, and there's a lot of little things, but overall, the most important thing is exercising your spirit. And so when you go out, you just exercise. So, you know, Jose and I are going around and we're talking to people, right? When he's talking, when he's praying, I'm praying for him. Oh, Lord, what about what Jose is saying? Maybe we're not reading. Maybe we're speaking. Maybe we're having a conversation, a dialogue. And the way Jose takes the conversation, I don't like it so much. I'm like, oh, I wouldn't say it that way. I wouldn't say that. We're just going to go off on this tangent, and it's not going to be so good. No. Inwardly, if he goes away that I don't like, oh, Lord, bless this. Bless the way that he's taking. Bless my brother in his sharing. Pray that these words would be anointed. Pray that the ears of the listener would be anointed to hear, you know, that this one would have ears to hear what my brother's saying. So I'm not critical, right? I'm not criticizing. It doesn't matter, you know, which way we take, actually. Really, it's just, we just are giving everyone Christ. And so maybe he wants to preach the hellfire and brimstone gospel. I don't know, you know. But I would just pray for my brother, and I would be one with my brother, you know, in that way. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that we could say. I think I'll just hand it over to Caleb now. But, sorry, that thing keeps falling. So, yeah, oh, Lord, pray for the gospel, Lord. And, oh, yeah, okay. And one thing, too, if you're scared, okay, maybe you're afraid. Okay, I'm afraid, too. Trust me. Just pray, oh, Lord. You know, open these things to the Lord. Open to the Lord about, you know, maybe your fear or your hesitation, you know, maybe you know you need to, but you don't want to. Just, oh, Lord, I love you, and I'm doing this for you. You know, like, this is something you've commissioned. And I think once you do it a few times, if you've never done it before, once you do it a few times, you'll see it's not that bad, and you'll enjoy it, and it'll be very rewarding to you. The Lord will give you some experiences that will encourage you greatly. Amen.
Jesus, I love you. Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. Amen. We love the Lord. Amen. Okay, you can sit down. You know, when I was preparing to share here, I'm just going to give you some practical points. But this song kept coming back, and it says the goal of the gospel is that loving the Lord Jesus with our first love, we will pour out upon him what is most precious to us. And I was considering, Lord, what is most precious to us? And if you think about it, what is most precious to you is your face.
You know, no one likes to lose their face. The reason we don't preach the gospel is because we love ourselves too much. But again, the goal of the gospel is not to be a religious activity. And you're not here to learn how to be a Pharisee. You're not here to learn different points. You're here to love the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we need to remember as we go out on the gospel, we're here loving the Lord, pouring ourselves, and the most precious to us is our face. So I'm number one. I don't like to speak to people. But if we love the Lord, we'll be strengthened from within to speak to others. Why? Because we love Him so much. And we're not going to... I was so struck this... I don't know if you guys were at the same annual training, but one sentence struck me. The brother said, you know what religion is? Talking about God. So when we go to the gospel, we're not here to talk about God. We're here to love the Lord and to show others that we love the Lord. And this is the gospel that the Lord wants us to preach to others. This is the gospel that Mary poured out upon the Lord. And He said, this will be remembered to all the generations. So remember that as you go tomorrow. But some practical points, how we're going to carry this out is, we like Robert mentioned, we will have 2 days to go and practice. Amen. So the first day will be tomorrow, Monday, and then on Wednesday. So just for the sake of time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to call out, on Monday will be the sisters, and Wednesday will be the brothers. So I'm going to call out a group name, and how about one coordinator or serving one stands up, okay? And then I will hand you, not now, but afterwards you can come see me, okay? And I will hand you a map. We have divided the map of UGA, only the most important parts, into 4 different zones, okay? So there are 11 sister groups, okay? And they will be divided in 4 different zones. So if I call your name, please, one serving, one stand up, make eye contact. And all the students, whoever's in there, make sure you know who that serving one is, because they will receive not only the map that you will keep with yourself, but also the tracts. Okay, there's groups, I think there's about 50 tracts in each of these bundles. And we have plenty more, but at least 50. The idea is that each one of you will receive 5 each. And of course, we're not going individually, we're going in 2s and 3s. So at least you'll have 10 tracts together. But if you want more, we have plenty more, okay? So maybe the serving one can come and see me if you need more. And we'll give more specific details on Monday and on Wednesday. So for now, is that clear? Amen. So if I call your name, stand up, and I'll tell you your zone. So maybe you can take notes. What zone you'll be in.
But we're going to keep the serving ones back afterwards for a little fellowship about group time.
Okay, good.
So if this is just for them, we could save that till then. I don't...
Amen.
I'm sorry, I didn't tell you this beforehand.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you need to give it out now, we can give it out then too.
Yeah, we can give it out later. So maybe you can stand up and you will know what zone you're in, and then the students can know what zone they're in, okay? So how about awake, fullness, and His right hand? So one for each. Stand up, and you will be in zone 1, okay? Kingdom, mystery, and oikonomia. You will be zone 2. Oneness, excuse me, sorry. Stewardship and surpassing greatness. That's 2 groups. So not oneness, excuse me, if you're in oneness. So just stewardship and surpassing oneness will be in zone 3. And then oneness, revelation, and sealed will be in zone 4. And I will pass it out. Okay, and for the brothers, ambassadors, armor of God, zone 1. Good. Body of Christ, enlighten all, zone 2. Full knowledge and inner men, zone 3. Learn Christ and stand, zone 4. Okay, so those are the zones. Now, practically, we will come here at 1 o'clock, okay? So all the students will meet here at 1 o'clock on Monday and on Wednesday, and we'll have a time of prayer, okay, and fellowship before we go out. We need to touch our spirit, amen? And then we'll coordinate more with the serving ones, what we're going to do. And then in your maps, just for you to know, there are a few reminders of what to do, what not to do, mainly. So the first one is, do not pass out flyers inside the buildings, okay? That's policy in UGA, so you don't want to pass out flyers inside the buildings. The only exception is we're going to try to have a table inside Tate, a BFA table, so there you'll be allowed to pass out flyers within the table parameters, the students there, yeah. And number two, never argue. We're not here to argue with people. We're here to love the Lord and to tell others about the virtues of Him who loved us. Amen. And third, this is important. Never be alone, okay? You're going out in pairs of twos or in groups of threes, but never be alone, okay? And in case of an emergency, remember you have your coordinator number, but also in the map, we've provided with the UGA police number, okay, just in case of an emergency. So, amen. So if that's clear, how about, let's see. Okay, one more thing. Just, we haven't decided what to do, but if you meet someone and they're very positive, okay, and you get their contact information and they want to know more about Christian students, okay, we will give you an email that you can send that, collect all that information, and then on Monday and Wednesday, we'll give you an email about what to do with that information, okay? Because we want to meet, if you meet students, we want them to be able to fellowship with us, okay? So that's a great thing.